Hi, and welcome once again. It's the weekly podcast of your girl Cheryl and the Old School News Crew. And we come along once a week to talk about what everybody else is talking about, but we want to talk about it in front of you. And in case you ever want to join our conversation, we'd love to have you. Just email me at yourgirlcheryl@gmail.com and let us know. And I'll get right back to you and schedule you in. But as always, we've got fabulous things to talk about. We've got fabulous people to talk about them with. So I want to thank and welcome Sheila Gaskins.
Hey, I'm fabulous.
Yes, you are, girl.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
And we're thanking and introducing Mike Easterling.
Hello, I'm not as fabulous as Sheila is.
Oh, don't believe that. Don't believe it.
Yeah.
And we are welcoming Winston Thomas.
I'm all right. I had my good days. How you doing?
It's not quite fabulous, huh? Just good.
Right.
Okay, well, we'll work up to fabulous as we're talking today. And like I said, always so much going on. It's hard to just decide what we're going to talk about. But the topic today, we're going to start off with, I think, the big one. President Biden gave his talk to the combined Houses of Congress the other day, and then the response came in from the GOP. And the response was from Senator Tim Scott, the only Black senator in the only Black senator. And he made a comment during his talk that America was not a racist country. And that just sort of sparked all kinds of Uncle Tom memes and just everything. Everybody's been down on him. But at the same time, after that, President Biden also said America is not a racist country. And so did Kamala Harris. So I don't know where we stand. I know where I stand. But how about you? What do you think about Mr. Scott's views? And if they, and the views of all the others. Anybody want to
So
start us off? Oh, yeah, you go ahead, Sheila.
I'll start us off. It's there's a meme.
Uh-oh, which one?
There's a meme with him and Mushmouth from Fat Albert and the Gang, and he looks just like him. He looks just like him. I'm telling you, only thing missing is a hat. And I was like, oh my God. So I can't look at him the same no more after that. I don't understand why people are so scared of the word racism. They said that about England when Meghan was on. And so all of these people are quoting America is not racist is a lie. Like, I just don't get it. And I think Kamala and Biden did it because Tim Scott said it. So they all are trying to fall into this category. Because if you say that America is racist, then you might lose some people or something. But it's a pattern, and it's a lie. But he also was talking all over the place. He didn't answer any of the stuff that Biden was talking about, and he talked about being poor and having that job, and
But it's funny, he talked about all the racism that's been inflicted to him, directed towards him, but then said that America is not a racist country. So, my question would be then what would America have to do to be a racist country if those things don't qualify?
Well, the
I don't
driving
know.
thing, to me was pretty weak because, well, I've been stopped 17 or 18 times. I'm like, maybe you just drive fast too much. Okay, you can be ridiculous with some of the stuff 18 times. Okay, to me, that's not racist. I wonder how many black cops stopped him. 18 times? Come on, dude. Okay, all that's not race. Okay. But I think somebody said he thinks he's smarter than the average black person, that we just don't get it. It's not. The correct answer that he should have said, or Kamala should have said, is that not all Americans are racist, but we all live in a racist culture. That to me, that's the example. So if you live in, like, a friend of mine lived down on Zachary Street in Baltimore, and there was a little corner store owned by Asians, and the two teenage kids, a boy and a girl that lived there, they had on the big jeans, the girlfriend had the little mini. They dressed like the neighborhood kids, okay? The young man had a big hockey jersey and remember the big floppy jeans were in and the big sneakers with no laces. young Asian kid, because that's what the kids in the neighborhood, you know, they after school, I guess they come to the store, they know the kids in the neighborhood, they hang with them. Are they Black? No. Are they affected by a Black culture? Yes. And that's why they, and that's why I think America is. I don't think everybody's racist, but certainly the culture that we exist in is racist. Built, it was built that way. It can't be any other thing but that.
Well, you know, I think it needs to be defined for a lot of people, because a lot of whites believe when they don't see the Klan running up and down the street, or when they haven't seen any lynchings or cross burnings lately, racism is over for them. So they don't get into all the subtleties and nuances, you know, that can possibly exist. So that's what they mean. They haven't called anyone the N-word in years. So in their minds, you know, no, I'm not racist and I haven't seen that. So.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I think it's a matter of semantics. Like when people say Black Lives Matter and then people say All Lives Matter, what they supposedly mean is that Black lives matter too.
Yes.
So, yeah, but it's still crazy because America is racist. And I said, hey, what?
But what gets me is Lindsey Graham also had said that America is not a racist country. And my question every time I hear Lindsey Graham or somebody like Lindsey say it is, how would you know? You know, how, as a 60 to 70 year old white man, how would you even know? Well, and is that, to me, that's the epitome of white arrogance for you to tell me. I mean, it's, and in fact, I mean, I've had men do this as well. Tell me as a woman, well, women don't feel like that. Women think this. And I'm like, how would you know, Howard? Just because you dated six or seven of them in your life doesn't mean you could tell me how a woman feels about this particular subject. And I've gotten into great arguments with men in that way. So how do you tell a group of people that you're not even a part of what they experience? I find that remarkable.
Well, you know, Lindsay and Mitch both will tell you out of their mouths. They say it's no longer racist simply because Obama was elected. Mitch says that constantly. He was like, matter of fact, he says Obama is our reparations. I've heard him say that twice. So that's what they mean. They mean in the America they knew, Obama would never have been possible. But now, since that has happened, that now proves that America is no longer racist.
Well, that's crazy, because that's sort of saying that just because he became president, he didn't experience any racism in his life to get him there. And in fact, oh, you know, I'll go one better. Wasn't Obama the only president that during his State of the Union address or address to Congress, somebody yells out, you lie. That nobody ever has done
they
that.
They totally disrespected him the whole 8 years.
And to even say upon his election, we're gonna make sure he's a one-term president and we're not gonna work with him on anything. They've never said that to any other person. So if you don't consider that racism, I'm like I said, I need to know what your criteria is. And I think Winston, what you just said, short of hanging somebody or straight out calling people the N-word, some people don't see that as racism. And I guess that if you don't experience it, you don't know. So I just find that crazy that a Lindsey Graham can say, you know, and I want somebody to say to him, how would you know? And how dare you even put yourself in a position of making that determination as a white man? Who are you to say that?
Plus the other part too is that white people, there's no gray area with them. It's either all of one thing or all of something else. And that's that binary thinking. So you either good or you bad, and it's just limited. There's never a gray area for them. It's either extreme or not extreme.
So the fact that even though Obama was elected president, this one guy, the millions and millions of Black people who are living in poverty or racism or whatever, who are being oppressed, that doesn't matter. But this one guy, because he was able to break through, and assuming that just because he broke through, there was no racism there, that, you know.
But that's their whole language. I mean, everything that they talk about is either extreme, like a bad hair day. So a bad hair day, the opposite of that is a good hair day. There is no, my hair is halfway there. It's nothing. It's just that extreme. And so I guess they feel like there's no racism because it's not the opposite of that.
Correct. Okay. They in my conversations, they point to the fact, you know, the Blacks that are doing very well, all the other things that they can point to that show that some Blacks have it very well. They're like, that means racism is gone, you know?
And my retort for that is, yeah, every time we have the conversation, it's the same old Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, Barack Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. They go, what about that? I'm like, yeah, but matter of fact, what about that? What about the fact that that's all y'all can drag up over 400 years, or let's say 200 years, it's the same people, and they happen to be limited to the same occupation, sports and entertainment. So what about that? You know, when you can drag up two people and all that time to point to.
So yeah, there was someone who just said, well, look at Michael Jordan and look at Oprah Winfrey. Who was that just recently?
Yeah, I can't think.
Well, they say that all the time. They use that all the time.
Is anybody?
Somebody, and I was like, well, check them.
That kid, Charlie Kirk, the right-wing kid, Charlie Kirk used that. Yeah. They all do, because that's all they have.
But actually, even Oprah Winfrey has told stories about how she has experienced racism as Oprah Winfrey. You know, how she went to go to a high-end store, they wouldn't let her in, you know.
That was overseas, though, but it could have happened here, too.
Right. But those kinds of things, that's assuming that just because you're wealthy or just because you've succeeded, you haven't experienced racism. That's, you know, I don't know why you would make that assumption.
And the fact that they point to, look at these people, that shows what makes them so special. They've overcome racism. You're making your own case. Otherwise, why are these people so special? There are other multimillionaires and billionaires in the world. Why do you point to these two people? Because they overcame what you said doesn't exist. You know, you're chasing your own tail. You're trying to make an argument that can't be made. If you say, look at them, what makes them special? Because they achieved? No. Millions of people achieved because they just achieved at a high level, in spite of. That's what makes him so special.
Right, that in spite of is
the phrase. Yeah, because I don't know if you're following what LeBron is going through right now. He's going through hell. I mean, he's wealthy, and I'm sure he's not crying at night, but he's going through a lot of criticism right now because evidently he went through something, and a bar owner initially had an issue with something he said in regard to George Floyd, I believe. And the bar owner said, no more NBA games being played in my bar. And the thing played up and the guy, you know, he got a lot of support. A cop also recently mocked LeBron on a video and he got suspended from the job, but he put up a GoFundMe page and instantly made like 200,000.
So well, I don't understand, what did LeBron James say that made the bar?
I heard several things. Initially, he said in regard to Chauvin being convicted, he said in regard to Trump, you're next.
Oh.
And evidently, a lot of people didn't like that. So they started saying he needed to shut up. He's just another dumb ball player. Why don't he stick with that? And it was a little back and forth.
Well, that one kills me anyway, when they tell the sports figures to shut up and dribble or any of that kind of thing. I mean, that's just such a ridiculous, on so many levels, like they don't get a chance to voice their own opinions. One, two, LeBron James can buy and sell all of these people. Three, he's putting his money in all sorts of socially relevant programs and educational projects and all of this kind of stuff. And not to mention, I don't think he could care less about that bar owner not showing any NBA games in there.
Thank you.
So what? You know, so that whole trying to have a backlash against somebody like LeBron James is crazy, as opposed to Mitt Romney, who tried to speak at a Republican event this weekend, and they booed him. His own folks booed him.
Hard booed, Mike. I mean, you're talking about comedians.
Is he Republican?
Mitt Romney, yes. Senator, right. And he's one of the few.
Old school.
Yeah, but he's one of the few who tends to be fair on occasion. He doesn't always, you know, he's not a fan of Donald Trump's. He voted for the impeachment, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's the one who walked with the Black Lives Matter protests at one point. Yeah. But then a lot of times he does vote with the Republicans. But they didn't. Once he made some comment that he has not been a fan of the integrity of the president or something like that. And they just booed him to the point, I don't even know if he continued trying to speak or not.
Wait a minute, which president? Biden or?
No, Trump.
No.
He did not appreciate the integrity of Donald Trump. And you could tell he had chosen his words carefully. He didn't say Donald Trump is an MF or is an a-hole, anything like that. He tried to couch it in a nice kind of way, and they still booed him. And this is a man who represented the party at one time. He was their nominee to be president.
Yeah. You know?
So, same thing with Liz Cheney. All of them. If you didn't support Trump or if you spoke out against Trump, you are on the S list right now with Republicans.
They have pushed themselves so far to the right that they ran into people they'd rather not have in their party. Okay? It's like you give a party to your house and you have people on a little invitation list. And they coming in and finally say, hey, you know what? Let everybody come on and enjoy the party. You know? And all of a sudden you got people in the party you don't want in the party. And that's what happened to them. They needed voters so bad that they got, to me anyway, people that they probably would prefer not to have had in the party. You know?
But that's funny, Mike. That's a great analogy, because if you had invited people to your house, to your party, when the crazy people arrive, do you leave your house? Do you let them take over your house? No. So why they're letting these people, why they're letting the Max Gateses and the Marjorie Taylor Greens, why are they letting them take over?
Cowards.
What'd you say?
They're afraid of the Trump base.
Yeah.
But even the Trump base has proven that the Trump base lost them the House, lost them the Senate, and lost them the presidency. So it might be a sizable base, but it doesn't have enough power to do anything. And now is their time to get out of it. You know, it's on the decline. The longer they don't acknowledge that, they're just going to build it back up again.
But Cheryl, it's all they have. It's all they have.
It's all they have. There's a tide coming. They can't stop it.
But you know what? I did hear a journalist say that the media has gotten it wrong all this time. That it's not that all of these lawmakers, senators and representatives are afraid of Trump. It's that they actually believe in Trump. The stuff he said, they believe. That's why they're not leaving him because they're afraid of his base. They're not there because they want his base. They're there because they actually believe in what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
And that's different. And who's that's they? Why the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Max Gates, that's why they're successful, because their base doesn't see them as crazy. They actually believe in that stuff too.
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Aliens and all those stories, they seriously believe it. Yeah. They did a whole thing on QAnon. It comes on cable. And some of the stuff that they seriously are really believing is real. And some of them have the little life-size puppet thing, female things that you, the women that you blow up.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I've heard about it.
No. The mechanical.
Is this a sex thing you get ready to talk about?
Sex though.
Yeah, it's a doll. One of them had one of those dolls.
Okay, we got you.
Atomically correct.
Okay, but what's that got to do with QAnon?
That one of them had that, and that was really a part of their life. Like,
yeah,
it really was.
How sad the other kind of people they are.
It was really a part of who they were. And so, I mean, not that I have anything against those people who are doing that with a doll, but that's like a real thing.
I mean, is that a part of the QAnon?
It was one of the people.
Principles or something?
Not all of them.
Okay, all right. I'm just trying to be clear.
Well, maybe one or two participants. One or two on that show.
Well, I mean, I do know that they were believing in Hillary Clinton being a pedophile. Right. And kidnapping children and eating children and all. And it just seems to me, once you get to that level, doesn't that just make you stop and say, you know what? I don't know that I want to be in this category or with these folks.
You think it will, but people are embracing it. Yeah. I think a lot of this will begin to dissipate when and if we can get people back to work. One of the side effects, in my opinion, of the $2 trillion or whatever dollar bill that the president is trying to walk through and is running around the country not selling hard, is that people will go back to work. Right now, we got a lot of people with too much time on their hands.
Yeah, that probably is true. Yeah,
you're online, and it, you know, I'm certain that I couldn't tell you what percentage, but I know there's some people who on January 7th and January 8th going like, what the heck was I thinking? You know, what they had nothing to do for a year. The internet blows up and people start becoming rap. People will tell you they saw their wife or their daughter or their mother or a relative right before their eyes start talking about stuff they never talked about before from the internet. They had time on their hands. You know, if you're at work, if you're a truck driver, you don't have time to be on the internet. Okay.
You know, it's funny that you would, you know, even bring it up to January 6th insurrection. You know, if you're still trying to decide whether or not this is a racist country, that incident alone on so many levels could have explained it to you. I mean, number one, the fact that everybody participating was white, that's the first thing, you know, but just the way that, and we've talked about this before, the way that that crowd was handled as opposed to other protesters, you know.
Manhandled.
Yeah, you know,
Cheryl, they do not see themselves. They are privileged. They can't see themselves. I mean, and it goes back to the idea of a fish doesn't know that it's not in water until it's out of water.
It doesn't know it's wet.
So they literally can't see themselves. And I know that for a fact because, you know, even in my job, certain situations they are oblivious to, and you have to decide, am I going to school them or am I not going to school them? Right. And only until I make an example of a male female with the same situation do they understand.
Didn't see it during the insurrection, afterwards, you know, or when it's been pointed out, that this crowd was handled differently than a Black Lives Matter. And some white people later said, not from that group, but other who were in just other white people would say, you know, I noticed that, I see that, you know, I saw that wasn't handled the same way this was handled. You know, so it took something like that. And just like the George Floyd murder, it took that for people to see what Black people have been talking about for so long as being mistreated by the police and things. I mean, we've been saying that for years, but until they actually saw it, you know, and the same thing with that insurrection, they had to see it. But you don't think they can look at that and see?
But if it's like 100%, how many people really see it? Like maybe 25% might be aware, but majority don't see it. They don't see their privilege. They don't see a problem.
You don't think they see their privilege? I mean, maybe not.
Not
like
until
you said,
it's pointed out to them.
But like what you just said, once they're out of the water, like a fish, once they're out of it.
Until it's pointed out, once they're out of the water.
Once you bring it to their attention. Yeah, because I know that.
Until that time, they think everybody's in water. Until they get out and they go like, oh, y'all live like this? I thought everybody was in water. You know? I mean, the thing is, you and I know, you know, the same world that you and I, the four of us call, we call it, and it's white man's world. As we say in a generic way. White folks don't ever say that. They go out into the same world, but they don't know what I'm talking about when I say it's a white man's world. I bet they never refer to the world that I live in. Same world, same rules, same laws. But we are referred to as white man's world. Okay, I got to go into the white man's world. They don't say that, but they go out into the same world. They don't see it that way.
And sometimes men have that same situation. They might not see their privilege.
And Americans do too, as in general, Americans. If it's not in America, if it's not the American way, then it's like, eh, you know, it's a bunch of Italians. Oh, that's what you expect Great Britain to say. But if it doesn't come through the American prism, we're that way too.
Right, right. And it comes with able-bodiedness. It comes with being right-handed. I mean, all of that is just a given. And until it's pointed out, you ain't gonna know.
Yep.
But is that across the board or is that empathy? Would you say people who are more empathetic see that in other people's in other communities?
There's some people see it and they're proud of it. Okay. And I guess if some people see they're ashamed of it, there's probably some people see they're like, eh, you know, it doesn't affect my life. Thanks for pointing it out.
Right.
It doesn't like, you know, it's when it gets close to you, when all of a sudden you got, you know, interracial grandchildren, okay, with somebody black saved your life. You get a black doctor that saved your life. Then all of a sudden, you know, something happens that impacts the way that you see the world. But it's got to be something like that. Day to day, why change? People, you know, change is difficult. People aren't going to change just because. It's got to be something in it for them.
Well, I don't know, because I was going to use this example from what Sheila had said about between men and women. And I have a friend who frequently tells me I should get out more. And he'll say, you know, you should go to the so-and-so, you know, go to that club or go to here, go to, and it's like an event that might start around 9 or 10 at night. And he thinks that I should get in my car at 10 o'clock at night and go downtown by myself and go participate. And I'm like, why would I do that? Well, don't you like music? You know, if you like the music, you'd go. I'm like, I would go. I said, you a 6'2" black man. You know, that's different for you to do that than it is for me to do that. I'm putting myself at physical risk to do that. And the fact that he doesn't see that, you know, it would take me to have to say to him, that's a safety issue for me. You know, I may not be able to park my car here. I might have to walk, you know, that's not something he would ever consider because as a man, like you said, he wouldn't even consider, but I'd still would think he could see that without it having to affect his personal life. I mean, he doesn't have to experience that himself, but I would think, like, if you're married or something, wouldn't you think that of your wife? Wouldn't you think you wouldn't send her out in the middle of the night because you would think?
Some would.
So, yeah.
So what you trying to say about certain husbands?
For real.
All right.
So the expression is, if you don't have to think about it, it's a privilege.
That's different. Okay. I can see that.
That's what it is.
To you, it's just the way it is.
Right. Yeah, and I'll give you another example. And I know, I'm pretty sure everybody's done this. When you go to a restaurant and they seat you, and you're very aware of where they seat you, like if they seat you by the kitchen or they seat you in the back, that's something I think black people are aware of. You may or may not say anything about it, but you're aware of where they're seating you, mm-hmm. as opposed to white people. They just are seated. They're not considering the fact that they might be put somewhere, you know, and it's because of their race. But, you know, that's not something that they have to think about. And yeah, like you said, that's the privilege in there.
That's the privilege.
And the other part, talk about restaurants, black people will wait till somebody to seat them. White people will just come in and sit down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I mean, we should do one of just a whole show, or just a list, make a list. You know. But yeah, this is gonna be a topic for a while as far as America as a racist country and who thinks it is and who doesn't or whatever. But you know, there's so many just ways that this country is trying to identify itself or appease itself as citizens. Another situation that came up this week, well, this has been going on for a while, but it sort of got a little bit more attention this week. And it has to do with the transgendered children, particularly, it gets pretty much focused on girls, transgendered girls who want to participate in athletic competitions with, I guess you would call them natural born girls, you know, in schools. And, you know, there have been some laws that are being passed to keep that from happening. And Caitlyn Jenner actually came out and said that she believes that transgendered girls should not be able to compete against other girls, that they do have an unfair advantage. And people are really coming down on her about that. But as a transgendered herself and as an Olympian, a former Olympian, you know, I would think she would know. And yeah. It's not a whole lot that I'm in agreement with or with Caitlin on, but that one I'm with her on that one.
Yeah, as am I, as I told Cheryl before the show, I'm also in agreement with that. It's just you know, if you become a female from a male and you've got like huge hands, okay, the hands don't get any smaller. So you're trying to rebound and you've got an advantage over women. You're gonna have advantage of, you know, the game is played more physical, you know. So you tell your coach, go ahead, put your booty on them, put your butt on them, you know, when you're trying to rebound. You know, there could be a difference in the muscle, they could weigh the same. But man muscle is different than female muscle. Okay. It's just my thing is you can have anything you want. You just can't have everything you want. By that, I mean, okay, you wanted to have your sex change. Okay. And you had that. And I'm happy for you. But now the price can't be now that you go and dominate my daughter's basketball team. Okay. No, you don't get that too. Pick one. You picked to change your gender. I think that's good. Who wants to be in the body of somebody that you're not? But that doesn't mean everybody else now has to also give you a pass. Okay. So
we'll give you less, or it has to take less.
Yeah, no, you made a choice, and with that you forfeited, okay, your chance to play ball. You wanted to done it to play ball, and then when you finish playing ball, become a female. Right?
But why do you think people are not, of all people, Caitlyn Jenner should probably have one of the more supported views. I mean, as opposed to everybody else, I would think that she would know more about this than some others. Why do you think?
There's another dynamic, and I've been having this all day. The first part of the day, I was debating with people on Facebook. The reason they reject Caitlyn Jenner's opinion on this is because she has money. And it seems now in America, if you have money, and I don't know what the amount is that qualifies you to be rich, but if you have money, you are somehow evil and so privileged that your opinions mean nothing to the common folk. So basically that's what we're dealing with here in Caitlyn. But you know, what was so unfortunate about the discussion I was having, all I was talking about was this sports deal. That's all I was discussing. And I've seen videos of some competitions where trans females were competing against biological females. And it's a harsh thing to see. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. I've seen track competitions. I've seen some boxing. I've seen several things. There's clearly an advantage even after the hormone treatments and what have you. And although it's not, you know, we haven't seen it widespread, but it's the principle of the thing. I've seen several accounts where biological females in high school have lost scholarship opportunities because transgender females have surpassed them and, you know, won the scholarship, whatever. It's just a crazy situation. Now, here's the thing that's really messed up about it. If you even have this discussion, you are immediately assumed to be a trans hater. And I find that across the board in all of these topics, even if it's gay, if you at all disagree on any issue from that community, you can't stay on the issue. And it can't be that you're a supporter, you're just having a disagreement over sports. The fact that I even raised the question about this automatically labeled me as someone who just hates all transgenders and wants them to be banished from America. And I didn't say all that. Okay. So it's a touchy situation.
That's that binary thinking again, because if I'm pro-Black, that means I'm anti-white. So it's the same cut and dry situation that white people do. My question is, listening to Caitlyn Jenner, who won 5 gold things in the Olympics, and if she wanted to compete, wouldn't that be a disadvantage anyway? Or does hormones take away your muscle mass?
Well, I think hormones, I think the point of the, as a transgendered girl, you want to reduce the testosterone in your body. Okay. Sure. So they have to, I assume, increase, what's the female hormone?
Estrogen
in your body. My question would have to be, and this is probably just a medical issue, is there a point where the testosterone is lowered to the degree that the estrogen is higher, and does that equate with what a biological girl would be?
Now, look, Dr. Thomas, me, the unofficial doctor. So, no, listen. The
doctor is in.
And many people have told me I'm wrong, but I believe this is the deal. You are, in fact, now, you know what? There's situations where people are born with both genitalia. And so it's all sorts of situations out there, I grant you. So, but I do believe whatever it is you come out of the womb as, and I'm talking sex now, I'm not talking gender, because there's a difference there too. That's what you are. Now, you can alter that. You can cut off your penis. You can take hormones, but that doesn't mean you've become a woman unless you can now give birth. Now, if they come up with a drug where someone born male can now give birth, then I'll shut the hell up.
I'll be quiet with you. Go on out there and play with the women.
But otherwise,
that makes you 100% a woman.
That's right. Let me finish. But otherwise, you are simply a male that has been altered. That's all. You're still male, even with your estrogen levels high as they can possibly be. You're just a male that's been altered with hormones. You don't turn into a woman because of a chemical.
Right, and all I was gonna say is, and I've said this to you at least, Thomas, before, and I take offense at the fact that you think you can. You know what I mean? I don't like that. I mean, if you want to present as a woman, that's fine. And if you want to take the hormones and you want to dress, and that's fine. But don't say to me that you're a woman just like me, because you're not. You know, whether or not, number one, because you did not grow up socialized in that way. Okay. So because at age 25, you're now a woman, you weren't a woman at age 3. So that whatever experience you had built you to that. There are experiences throughout my entire life that built me to be that. Okay. And the idea that just because you put on a dress, and think you, and how do you know you're a woman? I mean, when you say I'm actually a woman, how do you know? You know, you don't know what I am. So how do you know? You know, I mean, you might be something different, or you may not be comfortable in what you are. And my issue would also be, not taking this too far left, but if we did this in race, we'd have a big issue. When we have white people who decide they want to be black, you know, and they tan their skins and kink up their hair and join the NAACP, we get all upset about that. You don't
That's right.
You black.
We just be told no. End of story. No.
Right. So why is it because you decide to be pretty, now you're a woman? No. You're a man who has decided to do this. And that's okay yeah. with me. But that's let's just okay. be semantically, let's just be correct about it. You know, yeah. that there are two different things.
And don't let your desire to have what you want in life, and once again, you have a right to go up. You know, we talk about pursuit of happiness. If your pursuit of happiness includes becoming a woman, good. And you're successful, good. I'm happy for you. But that can't impede upon somebody else's pursuit to be a good basketball player and go to college, or be a good tennis player and go to college. Dr. Renee Richards was the first man. Did she go man to woman or woman to man? I'm sorry to say something.
Man to woman.
I thought you went man to woman. And she played. But she was like 39 years old and didn't really have any impact.
I hadn't heard her name in a while.
She passed, but she was the first person I ever heard. She played, but she was older when she had her change, and wasn't really, it didn't have any big impact on.
Where did she play? Tennis. What did she play?
Tennis.
Oh, I thought so. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's funny, you notice you don't see the transgendered men trying to compete with biological men. You don't see that, do you?
Thank you. All right. I don't see any former women out there trying to lift those stones with those big Scandinavian guys on the world's strongest men.
No.
Those dudes are strong. I don't see no women out, you know, here's Lars from Stockholm, used to be a woman. No, those are real men out there.
No, but one had a baby though, remember?
No, help me.
No.
I remember.
Yeah. Like it was a...
it was a woman who transgendered into a man. Who had a baby, she was able to have a baby because she had been a woman first.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. You can't just, I mean, you are fundamentally what you are.
Here's the thing, we live in America, we have total options, I get it, but they really do have to, like Mike said, you can't redefine reality for everyone.
For everyone, yes.
But I think, like you said, we in America, we are living under this idea that we can have whatever we want. You know, we can have it all. We can have whatever we want.
You can have whatever.
And it's why we're having this problem with the COVID situation, too, by the way. But, you know, because we want to have what we want. We want to go out. We want to be in a bar. We want to drink. We want to be around our friend. We don't care if it's going to kill you. We want to do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. And sure, that's the government's fault. I'm sorry about that this week. Here's what I mean.
I don't want to get off the topic.
No. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying, as far as us wanting what we want, from the time we entered school, we're saying these pledges, the pledge to the flag, the allegiance, all of that, it's been put into our heads that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. We've been taught that in America, we're free and can do what we want. People believe that now.
Yeah.
They don't want to be told what to do because we're free here. We have total freedom.
Are we talking about white people or black people?
Yeah, I was about to make that point. Go ahead.
Well, we're all saying those pledges. So
right, but we I don't believe think, it too. But black people too. Don't live their lives as in they can do what they want to do.
And it's right. I know I don't.
Right. There's one example I always hear when we talk about how parents raise their children and how if you go to the mall, you might see like a white mother with her child and the child's just running all over the place doing whatever. And she might say, oh, little Johnny, come back over here. You know, but he running all over doing whatever. And when you see a black mother with her child, she tell them, get your over here. And they come over there and they stay over there because they know that as a black child, if they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, that's going to be a problem. You know, so black parents don't let their children and maybe some and this may not be a good thing, because I think that's why a lot of times we have very limited dreams. We don't dream as big as white folks a lot of times because we're so been really
conditioned
to keep a lid on it a little bit. On your thoughts, on your dreams, on your activities. And white people are just allowed to do whatever they want to do. And so sometimes it comes
back.
Our
parents certainly do, not knowingly and not certainly directly, influence our perspective on white supremacy. My parents, both from the South, the segregated South, used to constantly tell us, don't go out there acting fool in front of all them white people. Don't go to the front of all them white people. And though they don't say that, you begin to think, well, these white people must be somebody important. Every time I get an admonition, I never get that when I go around black people.
You know? Right, you can act any kind of way you want around black people.
I guess you kind of knew you go with Miss So-and-so, so I would act up to tell my mom. But they would always tell us, don't go out there and make yourself look like a fool in front of all the white people. And so subliminally, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, you go, white people must be a big deal. This white people thing must be something. So we sometimes, in an attempt to protect our children, at least I felt that's what my parents taught me. I had to unlearn that, you know, once I got to school, I'm like, paying all that, you know, they weren't no smarter than me, you know, my ball skills were like better than their ball, et cetera. Like, but going in, I thought white people were somebody special because my mom said, don't go out there and embarrass yourself in front of them. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's there, even though we don't know it.
I didn't have that. My parents was fighting from day one. Mm-hmm. So my mother was from New Jersey and she worked in the government and all she was doing was fighting for rights in the government. So she taught us early that they ain't better than you. You are just as good and fight. So that's my history.
And we heard that too, but we constantly heard this, that laugh of that in front of white people, blah, 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 in front of white people.
No, I've heard that. And I don't even know if it was always from my parents. I just think in the black community, period. That's how.
See, Cheryl had northern parents. I had southern parents. I think there's a difference.
And my world was black. So Baltimore was all black. Everything was black. All black everything when I was coming up. And it was very seldom did you see white people. So that was nothing that they ever said to me.
Okay. See, my formative years were in New York and in Brooklyn, and everything was there, you know. Yeah, I was always amazed that some of the white kids could speak two languages because they're immigrant kids. They're Lithuanian, Italian, and you know everything's there. So, and of course, white people are there. You know,
Winston, do you recall any, you know, being sort of taught that at all?
No, you know,
or hearing that.
No, as I was thinking about it, no, neither. You know, my father was from Jamaica, but ironically, I don't recall him discussing white people at all.
Oh, see, we did.
My dad was just into principles across the board. It just didn't matter. You know, he had rules to live by, but it didn't matter if you were white or black with him. And my mother, she really didn't have anything to say about whites either.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't so much recall my parents saying it, but I know in the Black community, period, I've heard that a lot. And really not just, you know, in some cases, just period. Once you come out the house, period, is a certain kind of way you're supposed to act. And it wasn't whether it was in front of whites or Blacks, but I do recall that being just a part in the Black community. And I can imagine that that would affect children in a certain way to think. But even separate from that one example, Mike, I think you're right, that we do play into a lot of the white supremacy that's out there. And it's funny, I was just saw this on Facebook today too. Someone had said, this summer, don't tell your children not to sit in the sun too long or they'll get too dark. Okay. And the idea that,
I remember that.
That's a bad thing to be too dark.
Okay? I remember that.
Right. And yeah, now yeah. That I did hear. And again, not so much from my parents, but more from the community, aunts, the uncles,
community cousins, large, yeah.
You know, neighbors, people just say that, you know, yeah. And that you cut your time, you know, oh, I got to get back in the house. I've been out here too long. Or, you know, or if somebody see you in the later part of the summer, you know, from the earlier parts, oh, you got all Black. Look at you. Like, that's a horrible mm-hmm. thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
So but that goes back to what I said at the opening of the show, that no, America, you know, America's not a racist country. Well, once again, most Americans probably aren't racist, but they're all Black and white, we just showed, affected by the racist culture. The way our parents taught us, trying to protect us, okay? But, you know, the words they chose made it seem like, I don't know who these white people are, but they must be very special if my mom didn't want me acting a fool in front of them, okay? If my mom constantly warned me about them and how to behave in front of them, they must be somebody special. Then you get to school and you go, I didn't think nobody special. You know, they act up in school, they get bad marks, I get better marks than they do, but then you got to unlearn and relearn, you know, those things. But at least I'm glad what Sheila said. But so I'm thinking Northern parents are probably like, I ain't like that. My parents are first generation Northerners. You know, my
and also like, you have to admit too, Sheila's a little bit younger than we are.
Yes, that's true. So, younger parents, yeah.
Right. So your parents are probably a little bit younger.
Yeah, your parents are generation, maybe half a generation younger than we are. So they came. Yeah, but two from segregation.
I'm the last of the boomers. I'm the last of the boomers.
Your parents probably born in the middle 30s.
33,
35. Yeah. My mom was born in 30. My dad's born in 25. And once again, Rockingham, small town, North Carolina. Well, I can remember the guys calling my grandfather Schofield by his first name. And my father, grandfather answering back, Mr. So-and-so. Nothing really benign, nothing big. Just the culture. You know, how you doing, Schofield? That's your boy, that's your grandboy right there? Yes, Mr. So-and-so, that's my grandma. Mike, say hello to Mr. So-and-so. Mr. So-and-so, like 30 years old. My grandfather, 50 years old.
But now, thank God I did not have that experience. But
it was no big thing. I'm a child. Okay, I guess that's the way it works down here. But I was getting that white supremacy lesson mm-hmm. anyway. It was coming in the side door. The back wasn't coming right at me, but it was coming in.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing that gets confused, and this probably needs to be brought out because it comes up a lot. The actual definition of racism in terms of a society is totally different than what most people think.
That's correct.
In other words, there's a difference between racism, bigotry, and prejudice, because what comes up, I had white guys say, well, Blacks are racist too. And I'm like, well, not according to the dictionary. Right. At best, we could be prejudiced. Yeah, we're very prejudiced.
We can
be bigots. But we have no control over anything that would allow us to be true or to practice racism per se. And they don't get that. You got to really send them to the dictionary and dig.
But
there's a Black scholar, I don't know if his name is Kendi. He wrote the book about anti-racism, and he is saying that Black people can be racist. I don't ascribe to that. He's saying it because if anybody believes in these racist policies, then they are racist.
And Black people can, but not American Blacks.
No, I'm telling you, he really, I can't think his name, but he is saying that Black people can be racist. and that's like all new, like within the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it, but he has got a whole bunch of folk thinking about Black people being racist. And so the term now is, you, it's not enough to be racist, you need to be anti-racist, which means you should not be believing in all of these things, all of the policies and the givens. But yeah, he wrote a whole book on it. Young.
Yeah, I think there's a difference in believing in racism or having racist views than practicing racism. You have to be able to control people's incomes, their housing, their vote. Okay. Yeah. In America, Blacks happiness. Control none of that. Yeah. You don't control any of yeah. that. So it's actually impossible for Blacks in America to practice racism.
Correct. There's nothing we can do that impacts their life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness. Nothing we can do to block them on that. Okay. And that to me is what racism, like Vincent just said, is. You know, there's nothing we can do. Just because we have more Black players in the NBA than any other race, that doesn't impact how they get up and go to work every day. That doesn't get them hit over the head by police every day.
And also, okay. We have to stop changing the definition of things. If the definition of racism in this country, because this is how we've all agreed on it, because this is what's in the dictionary, whatever it is, that's the definition. If you want to vary from that, then call it something else.
You know, Cheryl?
Rephrase it.
Cheryl, it's funny you bring that up, but what I've discovered in the last 7 years, especially, the dictionaries are being rewritten. Has anybody noticed that?
Oh yeah, dictionaries are constantly you rewritten.
Every 7 years, they get updated. But
especially now that they're available online, I can recall looking up certain words maybe a few years ago. If you go in Webster's or Merriam's, whatever it is, totally different now.
I think they took the N-word away, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they are words that they take out of the dictionary and words, new words they that put they in. Put in.
His name is Imbrum X. Kendi, and he wrote the whole thing on anti-racism, and he believes Black people can be racist.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see how he says that. Racism, according to dictionary.com, pardon me for reading, a belief or doctrine that inherent differences among various human racial groups determine cultural and individual achievement, usually involving the idea that one's own race is superior and has the right to dominate the others, or that a particular group is inferior to others. So yeah, I don't think that we can dominate, was the word, has the right to dominate any other race, you know? So that's why, that's one way, going back to how Winston said, we can't be racist, bigoted, prejudice, okay, absolutely. There's some people say, I hate white people, okay, hate them. That's bigotry, okay, and treat them as such. That's bigotry, okay. But just the fact that they hate those folks go home and sleep like a baby anyway. It doesn't impact their life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness that a handful of folks don't like them.
But do you think? And I know we're sort of coming up on the end of our hour, but the whole idea that Kamala Harris, President Biden, and Tim Scott would all say America is not a racist country. Do you, and Lindsey Graham, do you believe that by them saying that, is the leadership of this country able to address it if they don't even believe that that's true?
Yeah, I get it. They're trying to what?
Soft sell it.
Yeah, they're trying to be in a gray area that pleases everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get it.
One of the reasons, this was the first time that I was able to point to somebody and say, see right there, that's where I'm not a Kamala fan. I think had that been Susan Rice, Condoleezza Rice, or somebody else who doesn't have a pretty smile, but maybe, and I love Kamala, she's a Howard person, et cetera. I just think that there's spots like that she could have chosen, a more seasoned person would have chosen better words to respond to what Uncle Tim said.
Well, okay. Two things though, but remember years ago when Michelle Obama made a comment about America. She was proud. Something had happened and she said, right. I'm now proud of being an American. And they got on her because she was saying, so you're saying that you weren't proud to be an American before? How are you going to be the first lady and not be proud of being American? And correct. They jumped on her for saying it that way. And most Black people knew what she meant
by
that. Okay. But, and I think Kamala Harris and even Biden, that they see themselves in that position. They can't say it. Number one, it makes a horrible soundbite, you know, on air to have them say America is a racist country, you know, but both, as soon as they said it's not a racist country, they immediately said, however, this is a problem we have, blah, 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 blah. And the problem, but well, we do have a problem with racism and that, and they continued in that vein, you know. Lindsay and the others, they just sort of want to say, no, we're not. And Tim Scott, crazy enough, he wants to say it, America is not a racist country, and then give you five examples of all the racism he has experienced, which all makes no sense.
Well, he's been hanging around
college. Let me just say this really quick. Ibram Kendi suggests Tim Scott is racist for denying United States is racist.
Right, exactly. You know, that makes sense.
He's racist.
And he black.
For denying... Tim Scott is racist for denying America is racist.
Yes.
I got to stew on that a little bit. I don't understand.
Actually, he's just foolish because Tim Scott has no power over anybody either.
Well, I think also Tim Scott got used by the Republicans. Yeah. They needed that black man to stand up there and say that. And I have more of a problem with Tim Scott for allowing himself to be used like that than I do for what he says.
I mean, he's only black in the Senate.
But another place
I think he's being used and or not effectively used is being the head of this committee or whatever it's called, I'm not certain, about police reform. Okay. If you want police reform, you've got to hear that message. And correct me if I'm wrong, the messenger does matter in some sense. That message got to come from white people. Okay. There's some things that, especially things that say that are contrary to the perceived culture. That, of course, a black man's gonna say that. That message gotta come from somebody that looks like them, talks like them, and has their life experience. But they're gonna push back knee jerk against him. I think you need somebody looks like the messenger to look like the receiver of the message, the sender to look like the receiver, not somebody that people just automatically reject out of hand. And that's what Tim Scott is.
I think that in a general sense, this whole discussion about racism in America, it's not anything black people can do about it. We've already addressed it. We've already identified it. It's up to somebody to change it. And the only people who can change it are the people who are perpetrating it. So it's a white people's issue. It's nothing I can do at this point, you know, to stop you from, it's how you think, it's how you act and how you're addressing it. You know, so I don't, at this point.
I come over to your house and I destroy your house, make everybody in there feel bad, tip over stuff and say, y'all clean that up. This place is a mess. Nobody, no wonder you don't get any respect and walk out. I guess we got to clean up their mess. Mm-hmm. We want to have a neat home because they just came in and tore it up because they could. Yeah, they don't see it still as a problem that's theirs to fix. Some do, but it's a slow indoctrination that this is your mess to clean up. Okay, not that you created this. We didn't swim over here, okay, or did volunteer to go on the bottom of ships. Where the slavery office at? I can't wait to get started. This is something that was put on us.
I'm waiting to see how it gets addressed. And we're going to keep on talking about it. And I'm sure we'll come back to this conversation on another podcast in the future. But until we do, I hate to say I want to close out because I always love to talk to these folks, but I do want to thank them all and enjoy another evening with each of them. So I want to thank, I'll start with you this time. I want to thank Winston Thomas.
What? I get to go first?
Yeah, you get to go first.
Maybe there is no racism. Have a great week.
And I want to thank Sheila Gaskins.
Hello.
No, it's over. You say hello. You say goodbye.
Goodbye.
This is a big goodbye. Okay, yeah.
And Mike Easterling.
Goodbye, and we'll have more good topics, I'm certain, right?
Oh, yes, definitely so. Every week is something else, something new. So again, if you want to hear some previous podcast recordings, go to yourgirlsheryl.net, and the last couple of weeks of podcasts are listed right there. You can take a listen and hear all of our thoughts about everything from President Biden to Donald Trump to just all kinds of topics. And if you want to be a guest, yourgirlsheryl@gmail.com. Just send me an email and we'll schedule to be on and talk with us. You can give us a topic or you can just join in on what we're talking about. So one more time, thank you all for being here. I always enjoy it. And I'll see you next week.
Bye now. Bye, everyone. Has anybody seen Donald Trump?